Tarea 2.
Leonard Bernstein is, in my opinion, a lunatic. I hate him because he smokes like a chimney. And he's a lunatic because no one could possibly live long with the kind of schedule that he imposes upon himself.
In my highly advanced years now, I'm beginning to feel the strain, and I think, well, maybe some of those pestiferous critics who complained all through the years that I was a jack of all trades, master of none, whatever it was. Sometimes I have a moment of weakness, which I say, well, maybe they're beginning to be right. Maybe it's time that I stopped all this nonsense and once and for all settled down and wrote music.
This is John Amis with a Talking About Music specially devoted to Leonard Bernstein. I must say, working and smoking too much or not, he has, thank goodness, lived almost twice as long as Mozart. And come to think of it, Mozart was also a composer who wrote for theatre, church, concert and ballroom. He didn't go around conducting other people's music like Bernstein, but both were prodigious pianists. There was popular music in Mozart's time, but nothing quite like the musical of today and the jazz world. Okay, Bernstein is no Mozart, but he is a quite phenomenal musician. And as a composer, in some ways he's even more American than Gershwin or Copland, because of the sheer variety of his talent, from jazz to musicals to concert music to operas to liturgical music of a personal Jewish kind. Boston-born of religious Jewish parents, the young Lenny graduated from Harvard in 1939, and he studied conducting with Fritz Reiner and Serge Koussevitzky. Aaron Copland was another one who made a great impression on the young Lenny.
I had fallen in love with the recording he had made of his piano variations. It seemed so stark and prophetic and unlike anything else that I knew. And when the moment came when I met Aaron Copland, it was his birthday, there was a party to which I was invited, and in the course of it, I was invited to play the piano, and I played his variations for him, which astonished him, because he didn't know that young people, hicks, provincials from Boston, could play his very difficult piano variations at parties. Anyway, we remained lifelong friends from that day to this.
Where Bernstein's own compositions are concerned, public and critics agree to prefer his cinema, ballet, and Broadway style to his concert and operatic one. Born way back in 1896, critic and composer Virgil Thompson crystallizes in his typically sharp way a generally accepted view of his younger colleague.
As a composer of serious music, there's nothing wrong with it. The popular music, however, or the popular format, is one where it always seems to me he is the most at home and the most natural. His popular music is of a quite unusual intellectual content, based on and quite evidently thorough acquaintance with and no hesitation about imitating the music of Darius Milhaud and Igor Stravinsky. Popular music seldom has that high an intellectual substratum.
On the Town, Candide, Wonderful Town, West Side Story, and the ballets, too, have this substratum Virgil Thompson was talking about, plus a superstratum of warmth, brilliance, and idiosyncratic tunes. Robert Cushman is a great expert on American musicals, so I asked him what he considers Bernstein has brought to the popular theatre.
I think primarily a great mastery of pastiche. I don't think he's a great original melodist. And oddly enough, the score of his that most people are most familiar with, West Side Story, is the one I would rate lowest. I think it's when Bernstein tries to find his own voice, especially when it's a romantic voice, I think it's where he falls down. I actually think that songs like Maria and One Hand, One Heart, and to a lesser extent Tonight, are awfully soapy, or soupy, not melodically very strong. I suppose they're really in the Rodgers and Hammerstein tradition, and not as good as the best of the Rodgers and Hammerstein songs. I think what's good about West Side Story is the jazzy or Stravinskian mixture of the two. Music for mainly for the dance sequences, for songs like Cool and The Rumble. It's when he actually gets to grips with the Romeo and Juliet story that I think the score begins to decline. On the other hand, it is an awfully effective show in the theatre.
Leonard Bernstein is, in my opinion, a lunatic. I hate him because he smokes like a chimney. And he's a lunatic because no one could possibly live long with the kind of schedule that he imposes upon himself.
In my highly advanced years now, I'm beginning to feel the strain, and I think, well, maybe some of those pestiferous critics who complained all through the years that I was a jack-of-all-trades, master of none, whatever it was, sometimes I have a moment of weakness, which I say, well, maybe they're beginning to be right. Maybe it's time that I stopped all this nonsense and once and for all settled down and wrote music.
This is John Amis with a Talking About Music specially devoted to Leonard Bernstein. I must say, working and smoking too much or not, he has, thank goodness, lived almost twice as long as Mozart. And come to think of it, Mozart was also a composer who wrote for theatre, church, concert, and ballroom. He didn't go around conducting other people's music like Bernstein, but both were prodigious pianists. There was popular music in Mozart's time, but nothing quite like the musical of today and the jazz world. Okay, Bernstein is no Mozart, but he is a quite phenomenal musician. And as a composer, in some ways he's even more American than Gershwin or Copland, because of the sheer variety of his talent, from jazz to musicals to concert music to operas to liturgical music of a personal Jewish kind. Boston-born of religious Jewish parents, the young Lenny graduated from Harvard in 1939, and he studied conducting with Fritz Reiner and Serge Koussevitzky. Aaron Copland was another one who made a great impression on the young Lenny.
I had fallen in love with the recording he had made of his piano variations. It seemed so stark and prophetic and unlike anything else that I knew. And when the moment came when I met Aaron Copland, it was his birthday, there was a party to which I was invited, and in the course of it, I was invited to play the piano, and I played his variations for him, which astonished him, because he didn't know that young people, hicks, provincials from Boston, could play his very difficult piano variations at parties. Anyway, we remained lifelong friends from that day to this.
Where Bernstein's own compositions are concerned, public and critics agree to prefer his cinema, ballet and Broadway style to his concert and operatic one. Born way back in 1896, critic and composer Virgil Thompson crystallizes in his typically sharp way a generally accepted view of his younger colleague.
As a composer of serious music, there's nothing wrong with it. The popular music, however, or the popular format is one where it always seems to me he is the most at home and the most natural. His popular music is of a quite unusual intellectual content, based on and quite evidently thorough acquaintance with, and no hesitation about imitating, the music of Darius Milhaud and Igor Stravinsky. Popular music seldom has that high an intellectual substratum.
On the Town, Candide, Wonderful Town, West Side Story, and the ballets, too, have this substratum Virgil Thompson was talking about, plus a superstratum of warmth, brilliance, and idiosyncratic tunes. Robert Cushman is a great expert on American musicals, so I asked him what he considers Bernstein has brought to the popular theatre.
I think primarily a great mastery of pastiche. I don't think he's a great original melodist. And oddly enough, the score of his that most people are most familiar with, West Side Story, is one I would rate lowest. I think it's when Bernstein tries to find his own voice, especially when it's a romantic voice, I think it's where he falls down. I actually think that songs like Maria and One Hand, One Heart, and to a lesser extent Tonight, are awfully soapy, or soupy, not melodically very strong. But I suppose they're really in the Rodgers and Hammerstein tradition, and not as good as the best of the Rodgers and Hammerstein songs. I think what's good about West Side Story is the jazzy, or Stravinskyan mixture of the two, music for mainly for the dance sequences, for songs like Cool and The Rumble. It's when he actually gets to grips with the Romeo and Juliet story that I think the score begins to decline. On the other hand, it is an awfully effective show in the theatre.